Every one of us can have a moment in which we do something that we know is wrong. And if we do it, it is because we have mentally created a sphere in our lives. We have drawn a district in a realm of our existence where, for the moment, we do not feel the presence of the divine. Welcome to A Journey Through the Machzor, Episode 19, Judaism versus the Gerrymander. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. A joke, which I saw once online, and which I have cited a great deal since then. Children are in a cafeteria line in a religious school. As they come to a tray of apples, they see that one of the teachers has posted a sign next to it which reads, "Take only one apple. God is watching." Then, as they proceed down the cafeteria line, they come to a tray of cookies, and one of the children says to the other, "Let's take as many cookies as we want. God's watching the apples." The joke, of course, lies in the naivete of the students and in the recognition of the truth that God knows God is watching because he is omniscient. Thus, as we conclude the silent prayer of the evening of Yom Kippur, as we engage in confession, we say to God, "Ein davar nela mimecha ve'ein nistar mineged einecha." Nothing is hidden from you. Nothing is concealed from your eyes. But it is for this reason that one of the central liturgical rituals of Yom Kippur might seem strange. According to Jewish law, it is not enough to regret our misdeeds. We must confess them to God. We do so, first, through the liturgical piece known as Ashamnu, in which, following the order of the Hebrew alphabet, we give general descriptions of what we have done wrong. Ashamnu, we have become guilty. Bagadnu, we have engaged in betrayal. Gazalnu, we have engaged in theft. Then we turn to a more specific listing of our misdeeds, known as Alchit. Here, the list that is provided is not meant to be complete and authoritative. If there is something that we have done in our past year that we know was wrong, we are supposed to silently, at the end of the silent prayer, confess that to God as well. The question, of course, is if God is truly omniscient, if God was watching when he saw us sin, and if the Almighty knows even our innermost thoughts, why is it not enough to experience regret and allow God to omnisciently understand that we have repented? The answer would seem to be that whenever we engaged in something for which we must confess, we were not all that different from the children in the cafeteria line. We acted in a way in which we assumed God was not watching. It is Rabbi Yoel ben Nun who once explained the term by which Israelites are often known in the Bible, Hebrews, Ivrim, as taking on a particular resonance in the ancient era of paganism, when many assumed that their own country had territorial gods who had no authority outside their land. Abraham, however, was known as Ivri, Hebrew, linked to the infinitive la'avor, to cross over, a term that highlighted the fact that he had heard the call of God in Mesopotamia and believed that if he crossed the continent to the land of Canaan, that very same God would speak to him there. It's interesting to note that the Hebrew word for sin, avera, can be seen as its own correlation of the reversal of Ivri. In sinning, we psychologically cross over into an area where God is not there, even though, of course, he is. We are creating a sphere of our lives where we have gerrymandered Judaism. It is, as articles note, a bit sad that a man named Elbridge Gerry, who participated in the founding of the United States in a profound and important way, would be known forever by a strangely drawn district in the state where he served as governor, and that his name would serve as a source for the phrase gerrymander. But the truth is, drawing districts in an odd and counterintuitive way is something in a spiritual sense in which we all engage. We all create spheres of our lives where we act as if God's power, God's reach, God's omniscience, and God's omnipresence is no longer in effect. A very interesting article in the Smithsonian Magazine about the history of the gerrymander tells us that Elbridge Gerry was celebrated by John Adams for his patriotism and his efforts on behalf of American independence. We're told in the article that, quote, "If every man here was a Gerry," John Adams wrote in July 1776, "the liberties of America would be safe against the gates of earth and hell," end quote. And John Adams, I would add, was not always generous with his compliments. If he thought that Elbridge Gerry deserved it, then that meant something. And yet, as the article further tells us, when he signed a bill allowing for a cartoonishly crafted district that clearly saw purely partisan advantage. The cartoon describing the district as a creature called a gerrymander spread throughout the lexicon of America, and it is for this that he is most known today. So the article tells us, calling this a cautionary tale. We too can live lives driven by an admirable vision and admirable values, but we are all fallible human beings, and every one of us can have a moment in which we do something that we know is wrong, and if we do it, it is because we have mentally created a sphere in our lives. We have drawn a district in a realm of our existence where, for the moment, we do not feel the presence of the divine. Repentance is meant to undo this gerrymandering of Judaism. It is meant to help us realize that God can be encountered everywhere, just as Abraham encountered him in both Mesopotamia and in the Holy Land. Repentance, in other words, is meant to make us reflect on our averot, our sins, and help us to become Ivrim, Hebrews. Therefore, it is noteworthy that in the liturgy of confession, the words we use are Al chet shechatanu lifanecha. I confess this particular sin that I did before you. Meaning, we are seeking to acknowledge that when we sinned, we not only violated God's law, we were acting emotionally as if he wasn't there. And now, as Maimonides puts it, our act of confession takes place lifnei hakel baruch hu, before God himself. In other words, when we are confessing at the conclusion of the silent prayer, we are facing God as a friend. We are engaging in confession to a comrade. We are affirming his omnipresence and realizing with contrition, but also with joy, that because this God can be addressed everywhere, therefore he can be a part of our lives everywhere. It is this wondrous realization that can allow us to decide in the glorious freedom to change, progress, and grow that repentance embodies what our future legacy will be, so that in the end we will be remembered not for acts of gerrymandering, but for what is truly important. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.